Today on The Breakdown, we are talking about two left in the $100,000 buy-in main event of the Triton Poker Vietnam. It's event number 9. Talal Shakurchi and Christopher Michael Soyza are heads up. And while they've already won $2.2 million, 135 entries, by the way, holy smokes, there's still over $1 million left to play for. It's wild, really. You get through 133 players, you've won $2.2 million. You can get another 50% of your money if you just beat this one last dude, this one final boss. Well, Talal Shakurchi's got the chip lead. Christopher Michael Soyza probably has the experience lead, though. And we're going to see a clash of styles and perhaps even understandings of poker here. When all the money is in play, who's going to win? Who's going to make the great play? Is someone going to make a big mistake? Let's examine it on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Where's the pizzazz, man?
I was just thinking, I didn't do anything weird at all that time.
Yeah, I felt like I went to a Vegas show, like, you know, off strip, and I was expecting some weird shit, and it was like, oh, you're just doing like Toxic by Britney Spears, and like that's been done before. What do you?
I kind of feel that actually.
Yeah. It's hurtful.
I almost feel like I should redo the whole thing.
No, I think you shouldn't. I think you need to live with your warts.
It's better that way.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
It's a better lesson for me. It's true.
Yeah,
I can't. I don't ever want to feel like this again.
It's like, yeah, this is the worst you've ever felt, huh?
I have sort of been trending a little more towards like just describing the hand in the opening lately. I'm aware of that, and you know, I'm trying to be more welcoming to new listeners, I guess. But in doing so, perhaps I've lost myself.
It's possible it's a diet thing. Maybe you need a bit more nut butter in your diet.
I might need a little more nut butter in my diet, actually. I've been eating some almond butter, but still.
Maybe some cashew butter. Change it up a little bit.
Love me some of that cashew butter.
I actually don't know if I've had cashew butter.
I don't know if I have either.
Sounds good.
It sounds amazing.
Cashews are delicious.
But how expensive is cashew butter? It's like,
I mean, almonds and cashews are similar in price.
Are they?
When you get them just as the nut.
I would never buy almonds just as a nut, though. That's an absurd decision.
Really?
Yes.
I do that all the time.
It's cashews or death. You know what I mean? Cashews or stab me in my arm. That's my options when it comes to nuts.
Do you have a thing where you die if you get stabbed in your arm? Because that's what it sounds like based on.
Well, it depends on where you stab me and how hard you stab me and how deep you stab me and, you know, how big the protruding instrument is. That's not the word I'm looking for. Puncturing instrument is.
But you wouldn't die from the impact or the slicing in your arm. It would have to be from infection later or something.
You're
right?
Crazy. You get me a big enough knife, stab me deep enough, I'm going to die.
Let's find out today on The Breakdown.
See, that would have been the opening. That could have been a great opening.
So, Christopher Michael Soyza goes by Christopher Soyza on Hendon, but the Triton decided to call him Michael Soyza.
Created a whole thing for us.
It did, but also, you kind of did a thing to him that you shouldn't have done.
Oh, shit.
Which is you three-named him.
Yes.
You're not supposed to three-name somebody, because that's what serial killers are. They're three-name people.
Huh. On Hendon, his full name here is Christopher Michael Soyza, which he has chosen, I assume.
Okay, well,
so that's on him.
Then I'm concerned for the people around him.
Exactly. The people of Kuala Lumpur.
Doesn't it sound like a serial killer name when you say three names?
Christopher Michael Soyza?
Like John Wayne Gacy, you know?
I mean, a little. I mean, are there any movie stars with three names? There must be.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I was going to say River Joaquin Phoenix. There's got to be somebody.
With three names?
Yeah.
Well, there's like Paul Thomas Anderson, the director.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's close enough, right?
It's close-ish. Sarah Jessica Parker.
There you go. Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
You know, if your first name is Sarah, you got a chance.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel Day-Lewis. Let's go. That's not really the same, but it sort of is. Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yeah, there you go.
Come on, we could do this all day.
Because you Googled it.
I did, and it's great. Although, I don't know some of these. Evan Wood apparently has it. Jamie Curtis apparently has it. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I remember. Because they're only saying their first two names, and I'm supposed to know what the third one is. Fuck you, Google.
This is why ChatGPT is going to win.
Exactly. Mary Elizabeth Mastromonio. Helena Bonham Carter. You're right. Jada Pinkett Smith, that's a little different, but still could be a serial killer. Michael J. Fox, Brian Austin Green. I love this game.
Just naming people with three names?
Yeah. You know, that's the new podcast, really, is I just look something up and read it off the internet directly.
Why not? It's like ASMR, basically.
Yeah, go to sleep or be turned on by this, whichever your thing is. That's what ASMR is. It's one of the two.
I know, but it's now uncomfortable for everybody. You didn't have to name it. You didn't have to explain it. It's better if you leave it subtly in the corner, in the distance, so people can like chuckle at it if they want to, but they don't have to be confronted by it.
We are better when we are our authentic selves, truly staring at our reflection in the lake.
I disagree.
I'd rather not know.
Yeah. agree to disagree.
I mean, for example,
where are we going?
We're
here?
Doing this. When you go to a hotel or an Airbnb and you lay in a bed, if you let yourself think about all the things that have happened in that bed, i.e., should I get really graphic here?
How graphic should I get? I think people understand.
I'm going to just make sure I name it, though. Like, all the jerking off that happens in each bed.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry for anyone who's listening to this in the car with their kids. I'm just saying, like, it's better not to think about that. But if you do, you're freed. You're freed. You're liberated.
I hope I don't forget to put the explicit tag on this one because I have to do it on each individual episode.
Do you really?
I mean, I could probably find it in the settings to change that. But
I mean, is jerking off explicit?
Yes.
Is pulling your butt an explicit thing to say now?
All right. That's enough of that.
Come on.
Disgusting. And in the presence of Talal Shakirchi, how dare you? He's rich. Rich people don't want to hear that shit.
Right. And he's very rich.
We think.
I mean, no one fucking knows. He's a businessman type, and he plays 100Ks. I mean, come on. He's got to have some money.
Yeah. Well, he's heads up for a bunch of money.
That helps. Right now. Hey, you know what we're going to do?
Hendon Mob.
Hendon Game!
All right.
We have two players. We have Christopher Michael Soyza, who you have heard of.
Yep.
I believe he's a pro. Type
or player. A serial killer, unclear.
He could be a pro serial killer.
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, Talal Shakirchi. Let's see how you do with both of them. We're going to include, because they've already both locked up $2.2 million in this, and there's only a million more to win. Anyway, whatever. Let's just include all the winnings so I don't have to.
Okay.
I mean, I could do it either way. It's easy. But I'll just subtract a million from the winners, Hendon. Okay. I'll just do that. All right, let's do it based on coming into this event.
Okay.
What are their.
Which guy first?
You tell me, bro.
All right, Soyza, I'm going $12 million.
Coming into the event, it is $10.6 billion before he started playing. But then he's locked up $2.2, so it's at least $12.8
now. Okay.
With a million more to play. Talal Shakirchi?
$7.8
Coming into the event, $9.3
Okay.
But again, he's at 11 point,
Okay.
XXX. Okay.
Cool.
We did that, and it was super fun. You did fine.
Talal Shakirchi.
Whoa.
Is your guest. It's hard to say that name. Talal Shakirchi. Say it.
Talal Shakirchi.
Say it a bunch, though.
Talal Shakirchi.
Okay, don't say it anymore.
See? You hate it when I'm good at things.
Do you think he's down lifetime in tournaments after this event?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is 32 buy-ins. He's definitely down in. He's down anyway.
Yeah, probably.
He's playing like all the million-dollar buy-ins and stuff, right?
Does he play the big ones?
I don't know. Let's see. I mean,
he would have had the cash for you to see it on his hand.
But I still get a sense of it. He's playing a lot of 25Ks. I'm seeing that. He played a $600 or a $1,000 buy-in, but a 75K... No, 10,000, 25, 50, 50, 50, 100. So maybe not $1 million, but he's playing all the 100Ks at least. And if he might be playing bigger ones and just not cashing in them too.
Possible.
Yeah. So I would guess he's still down lifetime at 11 million and change, Hendon.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, but if you're playing a lot of 100Ks, right, that's 111 buy-ins lifetime.
Yeah.
It's actually not that many, really, if you're going to play a bunch of those a year.
Right.
And by the way, he's playing a bunch of 50Ks, a bunch of 25Ks, a bunch of other things, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's different because of how you get treated and recognized, but I think if I were a billionaire and the money truly didn't matter to me in poker, and I've talked about this before, but this is a slightly different take on it, it would be more fun to give myself like a $10,000 bankroll and see what I could do instead of like playing all the super high buy-ins without having kind of poker earned it,
Well, it's just that you're just playing a different game. You could gamify it in a bunch of ways.
Yeah. Right?
That's one way. Another way is to give yourself $1 million and play these bigger buy-in events and see how you do, right? You could give yourself a similar bankroll, but this way you get to play against the best in the world and do it.
But I think it's more fun if, within, at least in my opinion, in the gamification, if there's somewhere to go, somewhere up to go.
I mean, the place would be to play with the best players. That's where you're. So if you feel like you can do that already, why would you start lower, right?
What I'm saying is you haven't truly earned that spot from a poker perspective. You earned it through other financial means, right? So I just think it would be more fun if I were to do it. If I inherited $1 billion from somebody I didn't know I was related to, I would give myself $10,000 and see how high I could
really
go.
Really, $10,000?
Yeah.
You wouldn't give yourself like $100,000? So you wouldn't play 10Ks even, or 5Ks?
No, let's...
You would play one... You can't even play 1Ks with a $10,000 bike.
You can if you want to.
It's insane. From a bankroll point of view.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
You can't do that. So if you're really going to do it for real, you're playing like $300 events like you do now. Like, what the fuck?
Right, but it would
but
be...
But you're a billionaire. Yeah. Why would you do that?
To gamify it.
But you yourself...
But what's the... Like,
but you wouldn't play bigger... You, I'm talking about now. You get $1 billion. You'd still give yourself a $10,000 bankroll to play with? Like, you have experience. You're not a nobody.
Yeah, I would probably play, like, the main event and stuff still.
So how much... So what bankroll would you really give yourself?
Okay, maybe $100,000.
Is that per year or total?
It's
like,
total,
what happens if you run out, by the way?
If I run out, I'll just start again.
Yeah, okay. So it's all... But it's a way to gamify it.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's more fun to reach the higher levels if you started at a lower level, you know, instead of just being like, you know, like when you buy a video game and you like pay for all of the things, you're like, oh, I'm level 70 now. You know, I never would want to do that in a video game, and I would never want to do that in real life.
Right. But, you know, like we see some of the, like, for example, we watch Hustler Casino Live, and these guys are playing with $70,000 in front of them, or $100,000 in front of them. And a lot of them are just not very good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the gameplay there, like, I believe pretty clearly if you were a billionaire, so you were not money scared in any way, like, it was nothing, no one could put financial pressure on you, you sat in that game, you'd be a very nice favorite.
I agree.
Super strong. So, like, do you feel like you wouldn't play that because you, quote, haven't earned it? Like, none of those guys have earned it. That's just a game.
It's not like a moral thing. It's just, I think it would be more fun. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think you're hearing me exactly.
Well, no, the difference is, though, is like in the 100Ks, you got like a lot of the best players in the world they're going to play. But in cash games, that isn't necessarily the case, as we see with HCL.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm saying, like, it's different cash to tournament.
Are you still thinking about expected value? Because I'm not at all. Like, I'm thinking about, like, I'm not trying to maximize expected
value. How do you earn your way into the big hustler game? Like, do you have to be one of the best players in the world to earn your way into that too? Like, how do you talk yourself into that you're allowed to play in that game based on your gamified rules?
It would be, yeah, like, instead of ever having to take money from my bankroll and live on it, it would always just go back into my bankroll. And I don't know what that would be like. You know, I've never had that experience, right?
Yeah.
Like, my bankroll has always been a source of income as well.
Yeah.
Right? So I, like, get to a certain point and I cash it out and I, you know, put it into my life roll, right? But I would never do that. So I guess that would be the difference. I would, like... start at a lower level. You're looking at me like I'm like a fool, but
I don't think you're a fool. I just don't really believe that you'd actually make these decisions. I guess
I'm saying this is a fun idea,
right?
And I think this is the type of thing that I would do.
I think if you got $1 billion, you 100% would go play 100K buy-in and Hustler Casino Live pretty quickly. Am I crazy?
I might do that initially, but then I would do the gamification thing. I would try it once, and then I would do like then I would do. I don't think it would be fun.
What if you won? What if you did well? You just wouldn't do it anymore? You wouldn't play any of those all those other big cash games and all like
if it was super fun, I don't know, maybe I would.
Let's assume it was fun. You got all this like recognition, you're doing well.
I could see that being intoxicating.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe I care about gamification more than most people, but maybe. I think it would be if the money was truly not consequential in any way to me, whether I win or lose millions of dollars, because I literally have billions of dollars after tax, you know.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? It doesn't matter if I won $200,000 or $200. It's the same fucking thing in the end, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have more levels to reach up towards than already be at the top level of buy-ins.
Why start then at 100K as opposed to, like, $1,000 or $500 bankroll and play?
I would like
start
to
at 1 cent,
at least,
2 cent or whatever.
Because I want to play live.
Ah, okay. That's like, a fair answer.
Yeah. I don't want to... Online is not nearly as fun, and you know that.
I do know that.
Yeah.
I do know that. I mean, life's got its problems too.
Of course, life has its problems. But I'm not gonna gamify playing online. I'm not fucking Chris Ferguson in 2007 doing the zero.
I mean, I've done a lot of gamifying playing online.
Yeah,
back
but
in the day. It was pretty great.
But if I can choose whatever I want to do, I'm a billionaire. I'm gonna do it live. It's way more fun.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, would you get curious as Jonathan Levy if you got billions of dollars? Maybe you take a couple shots at Hustler Casino. You play 250K just for fun. Play with Michael Adamo. Get crushed. Whatever. But then, like, find out if you never had to take money out of your bankroll and put it in your life roll from poker, and you decide to like spend a year like getting really into poker, like how good could you do? Like, wouldn't you be curious? Wouldn't you want to find out?
I mean, I don't think I would, but I think a lot of people would. Yeah. I think that's not unreasonable as a way to think. For me, I feel like I've lived that life too many times already, not being a billionaire, but like the like sink myself so deeply into poker and playing so much that I wouldn't want to spend a year doing that. But a lot of people would, for sure.
But it would be, I think another piece of it that's not apparent is that there is no creeping doubt about like, oh, is this actually going to be a problem if I continue this downswing? You know, there's none of that.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's pure numbers. It's not, there's no emotion involved.
I mean, there's still emotion for sure.
Maybe a bit.
People get very upset when it doesn't affect them financially anyway. They hate to lose. The more competitive you are, you feel it.
Okay. Well,
it's all the same stuff.
I personally am pretty good at withholding emotion from these things.
Yeah. I agree with that. If it were me and I got the $1 billion, I would not take a $10,000 bankroll and play $300 events or whatever. If I was even going to do tournament stuff, I would definitely play like the 10K circuit or something like that, thinking I probably deserve to play the 10K circuit and probably be fine. And I'd find out if I was right or wrong. You know what I mean? I wouldn't play 50Ks, I don't think. Maybe the occasional one, just for like to see what it was like. But I wouldn't do that regularly because also I'm built differently than most people where I would be like, even though I'm super rich and this money doesn't mean anything, giving away $500,000 a year playing 50Ks is just wrong to me. Like, so if I think I'm a dog at 50Ks, I wouldn't play them consistently.
I think of a fun way for you to gamify it, which actually is also something that would be fun for me. Try to win World Series of Poker Player of the Year. Like, learn all the mixed games and stuff and try to, and like, go for it. You know, you can buy into all the 5Ks that you want to.
The amount of work you'd have to put in to try and learn, to try and win World Series of Poker of the Year, I'd just rather put my energy somewhere else personally. But a lot of people would not feel that way. Yeah. I understand.
But if you're going to be in Vegas anyway, you know, you could just play all of the World Series events instead of just the ones that you feel
like.
Right,
but if you're not willing to put the study in, you're not going to... Like, you have to put in... To win WSOP Player of the Year, you can't just play all the events. You have to be really good and play all the events. There's a lot of people who play all the events for this in mind, but don't do the study.
And, right, of course.
And they never have a chance, you know? You're drawing essentially dead. So, like, if I was going to do it, I would actually want to really do it then and put the study... So I would think you need at least a year or 2 years of real, legit poker study, like... hours a day kind of a thing to have any shot. Like Sean Deeb wins this shit, you know? Like, it's not free.
Okay.
Dana Negreanu wins this shit.
I would trial by fire it. Let's go. Let's play some Raz.
So now you sound more like what I was saying, though, of like, so you just have like a $500,000 bankroll, play all the events and see what fucking happens, right? That's fine.
Well, I wouldn't want to play all the events in the world. I would just want to play all the World Series.
But at the World Series, you know how much that would cost? Like at least $500,000.
Yeah, it'd be a lot.
If not more.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd be... unquestionably, you would be a negative expected value for playing all the events right now, right? Because there's so many of the games you're no good at.
Right. Although the recent Portland culture, which has gone away, but for a while we were playing some mixed game stuff that was not exactly the same as what they're playing in the World Series, but I'm sure that helped a little bit.
Sure it did. Yeah. But, you know, the guy who's like a big champion in Tennessee, in Nashville, at his 1-2 casino and is like, I'm crushing all these guys, can't show up to the World Series and win a lot of tournaments almost ever.
Well,
right?
I'm not from Tennessee, so
that's a great point.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm clearly wrong.
I guess you just don't like games.
Cool, you've won a little bit at some mixed game stuff against people who have no idea what they're doing.
You don't like games or gamification.
It has nothing to do with playing against the best in the world.
You hate fun. All you care about is expected value, slicing out the next 0.5%.
Right.
I don't care if I have $400 billion. I just need another 0.5%.
You're the guy who's like, I'm going to pretend I only have $10,000, and if I lose it, I'm going to die. Oh, but then I lost it, and it doesn't matter.
I'm not going to... Where did you get...
You're going to stab me in the arm with a really big knife.
No, that was you. That was you. You're the one with the knife.
No, you were the one talking before. If the knife is big enough, you would die. That was you. Rewind the tape.
It was not me. And
Grant's on like 2 hours of sleep because his daughter kept him up, and so he doesn't remember much.
I'm still correct, and you're still wrong. It's amazing how it happens that way. Maybe we should talk about the hand.
Okay.
This was suggested by Diane.
Great job, Diane.
On Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter suggestion. We haven't had one of those for a while. I mean, we've had them, but we haven't done one for a while.
Right.
You can suggest there. We're the Poker Guys on Twitter. You can also suggest on Discord. There's a link in the description of this podcast to sign up for our Discord. That's a good place to hang out, meet people, you know, talk about gamification and how Jonathan is just a cold, unfeeling person who doesn't like fun. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Name some 3-name people that sound like serial killer names. All sorts of stuff like that can happen on the Discord. We'll see you there.
Indeed.
So we're heads up. This is a pretty cool spot to, you know, have locked up $2 million for Soyza and Talal Shakirci. I'm sure Shakirci has all of himself. Not so sure about Soyza. Unclear. You know, a guy with like a $10 million Hendon might have all of himself, but 100K is pretty chunky buy-in. I would guess not most of the time, right?
I would think mostly not. Yeah.
Yeah. You looking something up?
Yeah, it's good. I was just seeing something. It didn't work out.
Okay.
Sometimes it works out.
Didn't work out this time.
It's all good.
All right, so we're at 150K and 300K with a 300K big blind ante.
Okay.
Soyza is the effective stack with 11.2 million. So almost 40 blinds is the effective stack. Mm-hmm. He's got ace of clubs, seven of hearts, and he's going to raise to 600K from the button. So we're doing min raises.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, every heads up match has its kind of own personality, and maybe one player comes in with a strategy and one player doesn't, or they both come in with a strategy. But it's interesting because I played a lot of heads up in poker tournaments back when I was playing small local poker tournaments for a living, because, you know, it'd be like 50 player fields and I'd get heads up often enough that I got a decent amount of experience. Mm-hmm. And it was weird how each heads up had its own personality. It was kind of weird how, like,
yeah,
it gets shaped early on in the heads up, and then, like, sizings, I would change my sizing based on how it was going. It was weird and interesting.
Yep. Yeah, just, like, culture gets established,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, 600K, which is a min raise, A7 off. Shikurchi's in the big blind. He's got 22 million in front of him, so he's got a pretty decent chip lead here. 2X, yes. 2X Soyza.
Pretty good.
He doesn't have to call with his hand, even though it's a min raise. There is a big blind ante, so maybe you're supposed to call with everything if there's a big blind ante in your heads up. Like, that's an absurd pot, right?
Yeah, we're getting 4-1. Yeah. I think we're supposed to call.
He's got 5 deuce off.
We don't have to call with literally everything, but I think anything that can make a straight, we should probably call with. So, like, 7 deuce off, we can fold. 8-3 off, we can fold. 8 deuce off, we can fold. But we can make a straight. We should call.
Yeah.
It's 1 blind, 4-1. It can't be wrong. We have to be better than 20%. And even if we're not, it's okay, because implied odds. Like, we have to call.
So, what do you think about min-raising, forgetting the culture piece of it, when there's a big blind ante heads up?
I think it's mostly a mistake. Now, it depends on who your opponent is, of course, right? If they're calling everything no matter what, then a min-raise makes a lot more sense than putting even more money in, right? Unless you think they're so bad and you're trying to make the pots as big as possible. But putting more money in is good because we have advantage with position, right?
Like, I'm just wondering if 4Xing is better than min-raising.
Right.
Like, having a strategy of either limping or 4Xing when there's such an incentive to call from the big blind.
Right.
Because the big blind ante.
I mean, the idea could just be, like, I just want there to be more money in the pot. I don't know. I'm not trying to take it down ever pre-flop. I just want the pot to be bigger when I'm in position, period.
That can't be right when there's an extra 300K in the pot.
Also, if that's the case, why wouldn't we make it more than the min-raise? Yeah. Wouldn't we make it 3X or 4X, like you're saying? Like, then the pot's even bigger.
And
like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. And it's obviously a fine result if Shikurchi folds if you make it 4X, because there's an extra 300K in there.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to make it 4X. We could probably go even 2.7X or 2.5X, might get some folds that this clearly is not going to get almost any folds.
I don't hate an overall strategy with big blind ante heads up of limp or 4X. I kind of like that, but I'd have to toy with it. Anyway, Shikurchi calls because it's a min raise and he's getting a billion to one.
Yes.
1.5 million in the pot. Nitro betting has 1.5 million reasons for you to fall in love.
And it hits the spot.
This Valentine's Day, 2016.
You can finally meet your love, your true love, your one true mate.
How many of you think it's actually 2016?
You will have babies, and by now, when you listen to this, there'll be 7.
How many of you were thinking, oh, did they accidentally re-release an old episode?
Oh, God. That would have been weird, because it's the 2023 Vietnam Triton.
I don't know
poker.
If you said that, though.
I did say Triton.
Yeah, but not everybody knows, like, when that started and stuff.
I guess that's,
like,
true.
Yeah, there's just, like, all those high rollers that have been Alpha 8, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
It's all the same.
We were talking about ChatGPT at one point.
Yeah, but maybe ChatGPT created a time machine.
Wow.
Think about that.
Great point.
Yeah, you should have thought about that, just like you should have thought about signing up for Nitro Betting if you haven't already. There's a link in the description. Use it to sign up. That gets you access to all the cool shit. Tell them about the cool shit.
Well, President Biden would say, see, just putting us in a timeline.
Oh, I
timeline,
see. Yeah. 2018?
20, I guess 2020, I guess. Depending on who you talk to. But anyway, yeah, cool shit. Sorry. Right. Well, they've got poker. They've got casino games. They've got sports betting. And they also do, like, cool deals for y'all. And I'm talking about free stuff sometimes. We've got our Poker Guys tournament at the end of every month. We've got cool extra biddies for y'all. Like, you know, when there's an NFL season, they'll do a survivor pool for free for Poker Guys listeners. They'll do fantasy football sometimes. We did a March Madness bracket sometimes. There's free shit. Free shit. Take the shit. It's free.
All right. You did all right. But I feel like maybe 14% of the time or so, I like to just throw it to you to actually say substantive things in the ad, and you're like never are prepared.
Completely unprepared. I'm like, I'm basically canoeing in Hawaii somewhere in my mind as you're doing the ad, and just like, all I'm doing, I come in every so often to try and derail you slightly, and I'm back to canoeing, and then you're like, Jonathan, now you talk, and I'm like, where are we? What are we talking about? What is the topic? Which podcast is this? Who's the advertiser?
Unclear.
All the things are unclear.
So let's turn to canoeing in Hawaii, shall we?
Great.
You got me thinking. I have some trivia for you.
Okay.
How many rivers are there in Hawaii?
12.
No.
Oh. Fewer. 400. Fewer.
Yeah.
Two.
Fewer.
Zero?
More.
Damn it. Oh, no, I'm going to get it. one?
Which island is the river on?
Maui.
No.
Hawaii.
No.
Okinawa. Oahu?
That's
Oahu.
That's in Japan.
Oahu?
No.
I'm going to run out of Hawaiian islands like now, though. Honolulu, that's a city.
Yep. There's a fourth major one, and then there's a fifth one that a lot of people know about, but it's not as major.
Maybe just say what they are, though.
Kauai is the one with the... You know, you've heard of Kauai,
yeah, I guess I have.
Yeah, that's the one with the river.
He's if his jump shot was just a little bit better, I feel like they would have won more titles. And who's the last one?
Lanai.
Lanai?
But there's other Hawaiian islands, but those are the ones that people go to.
Lanai.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Lanai, though.
It's mostly, I think it's 98% owned by, what's his name, the Oracle guy.
But, Larry Ellison?
Yeah, I think so.
Got it. I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have heard of Kauai for sure. And the other ones that I named, obviously,
Okinawa's in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've heard of it.
Oahu, the Big Island, Maui, and Kauai.
The Big Island is Hawaii.
Yes.
You said the Big Island because I guess you didn't remember, but I was just...
People call it the Big Island.
Right. The people who don't remember what it's really called. They're like, you know, the Big Island. Like, they're like, yeah, the tall guy, because they don't remember his name.
Dikembe Mutombo. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Nothing weird going on here at all.
Anyway, that was your Hawaii trivia of the day.
I loved it, and we should do more.
Isn't it interesting, though? One river in all of Hawaii.
That is kind of... I guess it sort of makes sense. They're surrounded by so much water. Yeah. But you think something could just go through the island, like, and then that would be a river, right?
Well, rivers don't come from one side of the ocean to the other side of the ocean. They come from a high-up source in the mountains. And Kauai... So Kauai has... in the center of Kauai, which is a mountaintop, has the most rainfall in the world.
Really?
Annually. But there's parts of Kauai that have some of the least rainfall, and it's an island that takes only 2 hours to drive around.
Mm.
So it's got a weird microclimate thing going on.
But yeah,
that makes it so there's a river.
That is cool.
There you go.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, here we are.
Yes.
We're in Vietnam, which has many rivers. How many rivers? More or less than 12?
More.
Good call. That's probably correct. I don't know the answer.
Got it.
1.5 million in the pot. Michael Soyza raised the button with A7 offsuit, clubs and hearts. Talal Shikir called with 5 of hearts, deuce of diamonds.
Yes.
The flop is ace of hearts, 4 of clubs, 8 of clubs. So Talal flops a gut shot and Soyza flops top pair.
Yes.
Anything to do but check is Talal?
It would be very weird to lead on the ace high board, I think, when the guy raised.
Yep.
Even though he's probably raising maybe all of his buttons, it still would be very weird. And also, there's a lot of great ways to play this, i.e. we can call or raise anyway. Why bet now? Like, let's let him... He's going to bet this board, like, all day, right? Let's check.
So he does.
Yeah.
As Soyza, are you obligated to bet in a field like this, even against one of the whales in the field who's paying enough attention to balance, perhaps? Like, I feel like back when I was playing in these, you know, local heads-up, I would often check back in a spot like this because there was so much more value in bluff catching than balancing and betting your ace.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think you should be betting some of your aces, but not all of your aces, you know? So this is a medium ace, is a little bit more reason to check. The fact that it's the ace of clubs is a little more reason to bet.
Because you have backdoor nut flush draw.
Yeah. He's less likely to... We knock out some of his flush draws. Not that he has that many ace X of clubs anyway, you know, by just calling the min raise when we're 40 blinds deep heads up. Like, he's re-raising those a lot of the time. Maybe not all the time, but a lot. But I think that's got to matter at least a little bit, right? And so, like, we're a little more interested in building the pot because we have the ace of clubs in our hand.
Yeah.
So I think that would probably swing me towards a bet. I think otherwise the nature of this card, which also blocks some straight draws, by the way, makes me a little more interested in checking in general without the ace of clubs. If it's the ace of anything else, 7, I think this is a pretty good check. Even though we're basically we're ahead of all his aces, right? So we're only
it's well, like almost he'd have to get, he's gonna have some.
He has ace nine
sometimes.
And just called very rarely.
Sometimes
a little bit, yeah. But very rarely when we're 40 blinds, yeah. Right? Effective. So yeah, so it's very reasonable to do as long as Talal is willing to bluff. I think it's a perfectly fine check back as long as, but having the ace of clubs makes me lean towards a bet a little bit more, and into a bet. In fact,
I hear that. Does having the seven, which blocks straight draws, does that have any impact on your thought process?
It just means that Talal is going to have a few less hands he can continue with, which is another reason to check.
Yeah, fair. Soyza does bet. He bets 500K into 1.5.
Okay.
Third pot.
Cool.
Talal decides to raise. I think I like it. We have a lot of draws on this board. This is our weakest, among our weakest. Deuce 3 and Deuce 5 are our weakest draws without clubs. So if we're going to raise some of our draws, I'd like to raise our weakest ones and some of our really strong ones, perhaps. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does.
So Talal's going to. He's going to raise to 1.6 million, and this is just a money printing play, right, against a button open that c-bets on the ace high board.
For sure. And even if we get called, look at all the cards that we can bet the turn that would be scary. There's a million of them. Even if we think, like, we're not just going to bet any card, which we could when we're heads up on the turn. Even if we're only going to bet, like, draw-completing cards, there's a kajillion of them, even if it doesn't complete our draw.
Right.
It would be scary. So.
Yeah. Of course, Soyza could have those draws, but, you know, we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
So 1.6 million. Obviously, Soyza cannot fold this hand.
Nope.
There's no reason to 3-bet this hand.
Nope. Especially with the ace of clubs in our hand. That's like, even less of a reason.
Like if Talal had ace-10 somehow, do you think he's folding to a 3-bet?
No. I don't think he almost ever has ace-10.
I agree.
But no, I don't think he's folding to a 3-bet. It's possible we could once in a while get value from a worse ace, but let's not play that game. It's hard to. And by the time we get to the river and showdown, the kickers may not play anyway.
Right.
Like, you know, all we need is two cards, eight or bigger, on turn river, and it doesn't play. So that's going to happen a lot. By the way, a four also would also make it so we immediately, our kicker isn't even playing.
The good news for Soyza is that he's almost always ahead. Because like you said, Talal very rarely has a hand like ace-10 and plays it this way. And two pair combos are the only thing that are beating Soyza at this point. And there's so many more draws than there are of those.
Yep. It feels like a very straightforward call, and we're going to not really be folding this very often on the turn or maybe even the river.
Yeah, depending on the runout,
yep.
Of course. Soyza calls. Pot's 4.7 million.
Okay.
What's the best turn card in the deck for action, Jonathan?
Clearly the answer is the three of clubs.
The three of clubs is the turn card.
No, I'm saying that would be the best.
But it is the three of clubs.
I answered the three of clubs.
But that's also what the turn card
is. Right. That was my... I said it.
Okay. Anyway, three of clubs is the turn card.
Yes.
That means Shikurchi makes the straight, which could, of course, be drawing dead, but he should be pretty happy anyway.
I mean, come on. That's
and Soyza has top pair and the nut flush draw.
Yep.
So Talal now is pretty much forced to bet, right? Like, you have to deny equity from any club that, and charge any club that Soyza might have.
For sure.
So he bets. He bets 2.1 million.
Okay. Into how much?
Into 4.7.
I mean, that's pretty small, but sure. But it's a scary enough board that you're probably going to get a lot of insta-folds from worse hands anyway. It can't be that bad.
If Soyza didn't have the ace of clubs, he might consider folding this hand.
I think he would consider it.
This is a pretty bad card.
This is an awful card.
Yeah.
So many draws come in on that card, right?
Well, it's really just deuce five and clubs, but still.
You're right. It is just deuce five and clubs. But that's, you know, the clubs would be the thing we're more scared of anyway in general, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Talal bets 2.1. I think a little bigger might be better, like three, something like that.
But whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is fine. I mean, I wouldn't hate folding out. I guess we're not folding out. No, never mind. It's probably all the same. I was thinking of like ace nine with the nine of clubs, but that's probably going to call anyway.
It's going to call.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, ace 10 with no club might even call the turn sometimes. I don't know for sure if we bet small enough, which is maybe why he's betting.
That's a good event for deuce five, which has that hand drawing dead.
Yeah.
Soyza, of course, has the ace of clubs in his hand, so he cannot fold.
No way. I mean, he still has the best hand sometimes, as we were saying.
He has the best hand against all of the gut shots that are between the four and the eight.
Yeah, it's the six sevens and the five sixes and stuff.
And deuce three he's beating too. Still. But, you know, this is not a good card overall.
Right.
Even though it does give him the flush draw.
For sure.
Should he consider raising?
The problem with raising is, what is Talal calling with, right? That's the issue. Is like our hand is a little
as a bluff.
Right, our hand is like a little too strong I think to raise for value, meaning like getting, I don't know if we're going to get called by worse. I'm worried we're not going to successfully bluff out that many better hands either, really. Like maybe we can fold out some two pairs. If Talal had 8-4,
yeah,
we might fold that out. But we have a lot of equity on this board against 8-4 anyway, and we don't know that we're losing right now.
Right.
So I think it's a mistake to raise. I think your hand is too good heads up, specifically with the ace, with the club backdoor action happening too. I would be inclined to just very clearly call and be like, I mean, Talal clearly can have 6-7. He had freaking 5 deuce, right? So he's going to check raise all his gutters here, I assume. And I don't know if he's continuing with them, but I think it's very, I think he should be continuing on the 3 of clubs with 6-7, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a good card for him to continue with. You can threaten the club draw.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we want to move in. Like if we're winning, he has very little equity against us if we're winning.
I think we're very rarely winning at this
rarely
point.
Rarely winning? Yeah. Really?
I think the, like what are the hands that we're beating? Unless Talal's just going bananas, what hands are we beating that he plays this way?
Again, 6-7, 5-7, 5-6.
Not of clubs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, not of clubs.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, Talal may not be raising all his club draws, though.
He might not be raising all of his 6-7, 5-7, and 5-6.
But those make more sense to raise than the club draw, right? Because generally the 6-7, sorry, the club draws generally have overcards.
Overcards?
Overcards.
To
not
what?
Not to the ace, sorry, yeah. But to everything else, to the 8, which could be good if you hit. They also have, they just have more equity. They have more outs, right?
Yeah, but
there's more clubs to hit.
I'm guessing that he's going to raise his club draws at a similar frequency to those hands.
I mean, he shouldn't be, probably. Those are the gut shots are the least showdownable hands in his range, right? The weakest, least showdownable hands.
Right.
So those are the ones he should be looking to raise along with his strongest draws. So like the medium club draws, which are going to be a lot of his clubs, I'm not saying he isn't raising, but he probably shouldn't be. He needs to have some calls that are clubs also and draws. So I would think the whole vast majority in the middle should be a bunch of club draws. I don't know if he's really doing any of that, though. He may be raising all these things. It's heads up. It wouldn't be crazy at all to just raise all your big draws here and say, fuck it.
Yeah.
Also, you may be like, fuck it, let's just go.
Yeah.
Let's get it in with my queen X of clubs. Who cares?
That might be happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I am genuinely concerned. I'm not saying we should fold, but I think we might just never be, not never, but we're rarely ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Because he either has two pair that was already ahead, he just made clubs, or sometimes he has deuce five, as he does here.
If we really think we're rarely ahead, then the next question is, can we get Talal the fold, either the five deuce exactly, or more likely clubs? I don't think we can reasonably get
I do
him
not
to
think
fold
he was
clubs.
Ever going to fold clubs in the turn if we... If
I
we
wouldn't raise. Even think he was going to fold five deuce, honestly. So I would assume
I think
a raise would be a terrible
consider
idea.
Consider folding, because like, that's a really bad spot.
Now, in fairness, Talal could have other hands, too, that we could fold out. That were
two
that,
pair.
Yeah, the two pair of hands we will fold, I think, on a lot of... Unless they really think we're crazy, which, you know, I don't know what our image is here, but assuming he doesn't think we're a nutbag.
Cashew butter.
Yes, I love it. yeah, that's the piece. So should we be trying to fold out the two pair of hands? Or I think the fact that Talal decided to bet again, we're in position, we're going to have about a pot-sized bet back if we call. If he... We'll know a lot more on the river, right? I don't think he's going to bet two pair again on the river very often.
Right.
So that'll give us some more information that we can know. Like, we can always shove the river, you know? Like, we can do things.
I think it's better
to
make a move on the river if we miss than to make a move on the turn now. Also, we could just get there, which, you know, that kind of sucks that we probably won't get paid.
This is what I was just going to say. Yeah. The one thing is, the 20% of the time it comes in, boy, it would be nice to get paid. And we almost certainly aren't going to get paid. I mean, maybe not. If Talal has queen X of clubs,
he might
check call.
He might pay.
But maybe not, man.
Anyway, Soyuz ends up calling.
Okay.
Seems like the play to me.
It seems like the play to me too, but it's not crazy to raise.
Right.
I'll grant you that.
Thank you. Hey, guess what I didn't do? Write down the river card, but I remember it's the nine of hearts. Soyuz calls.
Okay.
Pot's 8.9 million, and the river is the nine of hearts.
Okay.
So that's basically a nothing card. It doesn't complete any draws. It doesn't complete anything that makes any sense for either player.
Yeah.
Except for Soyuz could have made two pair.
Right, here. So is it going to make ace nine?
But, so what?
Right. Well, I mean, it beats some two pair.
Yeah. So, what's the best course of action for Talal here? 8.9 million in the pot. He's got the wheel.
I mean, we got a call on the turn, right? That was pretty cool.
That could be a hand that has us beat. Swayze might not be raising his flushes sometimes.
So what?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 7 million. The pot's got 9 million. And who cares if he's got his beat? Like, not worried about that. Like, he should get all our chips if he's got his beat. I think we're supposed to move in here and hope he heroes.
Yeah.
Like, let's try and end the tournament right now. Any bet that is smaller than all in and he calls, he's probably calling the all in also. Like,
maybe.
Don't you think? Like, we're putting so much of his tournament. It doesn't completely knock him out, but there's so little left for him. If we bet... I mean, he's got 7 million. There's 9 in the pot. If we bet 4 million, he's going to have 10 blinds. Is he really going to... He's going to call that, but he wouldn't call all of it? I think he's almost always calling
I think
all
we are
it.
Supposed to move in because I think if we're Talal, we may or may not be where... I'm guessing Swayze is kind of a theory guy.
Yeah.
Just because he's like one of the pros on the high roller circuit. Mm-hmm. So if he has any ace that contains a big club, either the ace of clubs or a different big club, he's supposed to call with those if Talal moves in.
I think he will.
And... we just aren't going to get value from the ace X's that somehow got here that don't have a club. And that's just how it's going to be. They're just going to fold, and that's too bad. Right? But so we can just hope and pray that he has a club and try to win the tournament.
A lot of his turn, because he called on the turn, a lot of the times he has a club in his hand. So, like, let's give him the chance to make the hero call because he has a club in his hand. Let's do it.
Totally agree. Talal needs to move in.
It's a pretty obvious move in.
Yeah. I agree.
By the way, if he had bet a little bit more on the turn, it'd be an even cleaner. But this is still a super clean move-in. He's got 7 million. There's 9 in the pot. It's just so straightforward.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, a smaller bet looks super value-y. Like, why wouldn't you move in? Any bluff would be moving in here if they're bluffing at all, right? You'd never bluff 3 million. Well, I mean, I guess you would, but some people might. But it seems crazy because it looks so strong. I mean, that's a reason to do it.
Well,
but people don't do that in practice.
I don't really know where Talal Shakirci is game-wise these days, but I do remember doing a breakdown of his... I remember the hand being Queen-Jack. I don't remember exactly what he did, but I remember hating it. Mm. This was 6 or 7 years ago now.
Against David Williams?
I think that might be David Williams.
Had like King-8. I think Talal had like 8-4 or 7-4 suited.
Oh, that's a different one. There's one where he had Queen-Jack where he was actually the garbage human, but he made some play... while being the garbage human, it was like really bad.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
But you know, he may have improved over the years. It's not clear to me. Okay. But that said, he bets 2.45 million, and I don't see why.
The only possible reason I can come up with to do this is to induce.
I think that is what should be the reason.
But that seems crazy.
I think what the reason actually is what you see at your local card room.
Yeah.
That he's just really hoping. He's like. Playing the value of his hand, right? He's like, I want to be able to get called by a weaker hand, so I have to bet smaller.
By the way, if you're going to induce, this is the wrong size to do it. You should bet 1 million if you're trying to induce.
Yeah.
You should bet really small, like you're really blocking super carefully. Because the guy may not think he has fucking fold equity when you bet 2.1 million or 2.4 million here when he's only got 7 back. Like, he should be like, I can't get it through. But 1 million, he might talk himself into it.
All right. I have a multifaceted question for you here.
Okay.
As Swayze... how do we interpret this based on our opponent, right? Like, so...
okay.
We have the ace of clubs, so we do have the ultimate bluffing hand because we don't really have showdown value against the line, right?
No, not when he bets again. Now it feels like we are always losing.
Right. So first part of the question is, should we be moving in with this hand as a bluff just from theory land, not knowing it's Talal Shakirci,
right?
When we're going to be giving him this incredible price? Should we be doing it? Does it? Because it looks so incredibly strong when we're giving him such a good price. And we have the nut blocker. It's the hand to do it with.
Yes. I'm concerned when it's heads up that we just don't get enough folds. I'd be really concerned about that.
Okay. So the second part is, if it's Talal Shakirci, and we think, okay, his sizing indicates hand strength.
Now we're talking.
Like,
now we can consider moving in again, because now it looks like he's got 2 pair to me. And he's like blocking with 2 pair or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's hard to give him 5 deuce. So 2 pair is easier to give him.
It's still a freaking ballsy thing to do when the guy bets 2.45 million. Now the pot has almost 12 million in it, and we have 7 million total.
I mean, I don't know that I'd be able to pull the trigger here because I'd be really concerned that I wouldn't be able to get it through. I mean, look at Talal's actual hand. He should not be able to get it through. I would argue, maybe we can talk about this, but I would guess that would fucking Swayze a move in here that it just should not work against a hand this good. And okay, it should work against the 2 pairs, but you'd expect the 2 pairs mostly are checking. But when Talal bets this little, maybe he's got 2 pair. It feels like 2 pair, or it feels like a weak hand that's beating ours.
Yeah.
So I can understand the inclination. We should not call. We should fold or raise, which sounds a little crazy when we have the ace of clubs in our hand to fold.
Yeah.
And maybe we can call because we have. It's a great blocker. It's top pair. But really, it feels like we're losing. So if we can't fold this hand, and calling means we kind of almost always lose, I guess we're supposed to move in? That's where I'm against what feels like now a weak hand that is beating us.
Yeah.
And we hope he fucking, we have to know he's capable of folding. If we don't know he's capable of folding, we can't make this play. But if we think he's capable of folding, you know, 3-8 suited or whatever, not 3-8 suited, 4-8 suited.
3-8 suited is a two pair.
Oh, it is now. But he would have raised on the flop with 4-8 suited, right? As long as he's capable of folding that hand, I think we can move in. If we don't know, but if he's a station, we should just get the hell up, I guess. And I mean, folding's so hard with this hand. Maybe we have to call. But attacking this part of his range does make sense to me, as long as we know he's capable of making a reasonable fold.
Well, he is, because Soyza moves in and Talal folds without a thought. It's over.
I mean, what the fuck?
Talal folded already.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's see if this is good.
I think what Talal thought he was doing was putting himself in a spot where he could play it perfectly.
Of course he did.
He's like, okay, I can sometimes get called by a weaker hand when I make it this price, but if he moves in, he definitely has me beat.
Right.
Is what he's thinking.
But what he's not thinking about is the image that he himself has.
Yeah.
He's thinking, I'm just saying I have something. It's like, yep, you are saying you have something, but you're saying you don't have a super strong something. You're not polarizing yourself enough.
Yeah.
And so now he often has a big club in his hand when he calls the turn.
This is even further reason why the move-in is a better play.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, I mean,
you can't fuck this up.
Like, because Soyza probably is calling with this hand if Talal moves in, unless he really thinks that he has a complete beat on Talal and knows that Talal can't be bluffing, right?
This is the hand to call with,
yeah.
Right? So he probably, I think he's just going to force himself to call, be like, I guess, also, like, I've sort of whittled myself down to 7 million. I've got 23 blinds. I make this call and I'm right. We're back in it, and I have the right hand to call with. I call, right?
Yeah.
I think he's going to call, and I think Talal's going to win. Instead, we get this whole other fucking Twilight Zone thing that happens. Because Talal doesn't move in originally, because it's like he's decided, it's exactly what you said. He's saying like, oh, I want to get value from aces and two pairs and whatever else, and I don't want to lose all of the chips that I have to. I want to minimize my losses to flushes. But instead it should be, he has less than a pot left. Flushes get all of it no matter what. How do I maximize against the other hands? That should be the question.
Yeah.
And also, how do I get hero calls? And how do I not fall backward into a pit of despair,
right? Basically. Somehow fold this hand.
Right. So like I take the best hand, we put almost all the chips we can put in and still find a way to lose it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what happened.
That is rough. Now, the good news for Talal is he ends up winning the tournament.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
So I don't know how. I didn't keep watching. We just watched this one hand, thanks to Diane. But yeah, like maybe he got really lucky. Maybe he played well. Whatever it was, this hand feels like a misplay on
the river.
On the river, yeah.
Yeah, I think he played it fine up until the river.
Mm-hmm. Again, had he bet even a little bit more on the turn, it might have been an even easier move in for him on the river. He may feel completely obligated to call it off, but it shouldn't have mattered. It was less than 1-to-1 stack to pot. It should have been a clear move in or bet tiny, call it off instantly spot. Those are the two options. Instead, he bet small and folded instantly. Crazy.
But like you said, he won anyway, so good for him.
Yep. Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic. And I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make it home.